unless we consecrate ourselves, we will forfeit some of the blessings God planned for us.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. In the first part of tonight's message, Pastor Brian Grant shared with us three steps that are required of us in order to achieve God's destiny in our lives. Pastor Grant explained, using the experience of Joshua, how courageous faith confidently believes that God can do the impossible. This evening, we will hear two more steps to achieving God's destiny for the lives of His people. Here now is Pastor Grant with the concluding part of his message, Steps to Our Destiny.
But courageous faith not only obeys the God who can do the impossible, courageous faith confidently obeys the God of the impossible. So the priest carrying the ark stepped into the swirling waters, and as they did, what a miracle, verse 17, what a miracle happened when they stepped into the waters in Joshua 3, verse 17. And as they did, the priest who bore the ark stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel crossed over on dry ground. Somebody better say hallelujah. Did you get it? Did you get it? There's a 1 mile wide river. It's raging. It's 12 foot deep. The priests come up to the river with the ark. They can't swim because they're holding the ark. They put in the foot. And immediately, everything banks up. And as they walk, they're saying, there's no mud here. There's no mud. The God of the impossible not only stopped the river, but suddenly, without sun coming out, the mud became dry. The waters, verse 16, the waters which came down from upstream stood still. The waters, verse 16, the waters which came down from upstream stood still. It rose in a far away heap at Adam, the cities that is beside Zaretan. So the waters that went down into the Sea of Araba, that's the Salt Sea or the Dead Sea for those of you. The water that went down to the Dead Sea was cut off. God just stopped everything. And I am just so thankful. Oh, Lord, help me. Help me to trust you. Lord, help me that my faith might be anchored in you. Lord, help me that when my faith is failing, I might remember some of these stories of what you did. And remember that you are the omnipotent, almighty God. And there is nothing that is impossible with you. Lord, help me that as I remember these things, I may be encouraged. Lord, help that young person who is feeling so stressed out, so worried as to whether they'll make it in school, so worried that if they will be able to have a career. Help that young person, blessed Savior, to hold on to you, the God who can do the impossible. Lord, help them that they may courageously obey you, and they may determine that they will walk with you and they will follow you all the way. So first, courageous faith. We need courageous faith if we're going to get to our destiny. But the second step, write this down, put this down. The second step to our destiny requires consecration. Requires consecration. Joshua chapter 3, verse 5. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify, some versions will put it consecrate. Consecrate yourselves. Tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Consecrate yourself, because tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. As Israel prepared to cross, God ordered Joshua to tell the people to consecrate themselves. So what is consecration? Jump over to Numbers, just two books earlier. Numbers chapter 7. Numbers chapter 7. Don't worry, I'm going to try and go in fast forward. Numbers chapter 7, verses 1 to 2. It came to pass when Moses had finished setting up the tabernacle that he anointed it and consecrated it and all its furnishings and the altar and its utensils. So he anointed them and consecrated them. Then the leaders of Israel, the heads of their fathers' houses, who were the leaders of the tribe and over those who were numbered, made an offering. He consecrated them. The utensils that were used in the temple worship were consecrated. In other words, they were set apart for the exclusive use of God. If you're taking notes, you can write up. We don't have that on the, I didn't put this in the notes. But consecration means to be set apart for the exclusive use of God. Well, we'll soon get there. Actually, I do have it. Consecration means we have devoted ourselves and all we have to the exclusive use of God. In other words, we have dethroned ourselves. We have dethroned ourselves. Put that up too. We have dethroned ourselves and enthroned Jesus as Lord of our lives. Consecration is when we get to a point, but it's not about us. It's all about Jesus. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. I have dethroned. I have taken myself, because if we are honest, more often than not, we are very much on that throne. We think we are all that and a bag of rice. Listen, we have dethroned ourselves and we have, listen, we have made ourselves exclusively for the use of God. We have enthroned Jesus in our lives. They were facing an impossible situation and God was going to display his mighty power. But before he did, consecration was required. So put this down, because I think this is so important. Unless we consecrate ourselves, we will forfeit some of the blessings God planned for us. Sometimes you don't want to believe that. You and I will forfeit some of the blessings God had. Listen, if Israel did not consecrate themselves as God had ordered, none of what we read would have happened. And sometimes I think I can do as I please, live as I want to. Listen, we cannot live as we want to and expect to experience the power of God and for God to do all that he desires in our lives. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 tells us that I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. To present your bodies a living sacrifice. He's not asking you to die for him. He may. But more than that, he's asking us to live for him. A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And I need to ask myself, and you need to ask yourself as a believer in Jesus Christ, are you living that type of life that it's all about Jesus? Or is it more about you than about Jesus? Oh, come on. Sometimes we play nice little church games and we pretend how holy we are. But deep down in the deep recesses of your heart, what is it that's driving you? What is it that's motivating you? Is it really just to bring glory to God? All about Jesus. Amen. I pray that today we will present our bodies as living sacrifices to God. Only then will we be able to discover and prove what is God's perfect plan. By the way, that verse, Romans chapter 12, verse 2, he says, present your body that you might prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. It's after we have done this consecration. So part of the requirement to really discovering God's plan for your life and for my life is that I consecrate myself to him. Are you consecrated? Are you living a wish? Whatever that word is. half in, half out. Come to church speaking all like I'm as holy as ever. What's driving you? Is pleasing God what's driving you, or is pleasing the flesh? Well, what have we said so far as I rush along? If we're serious about getting to our destiny, what do I mean when I say getting to our destiny? I'm talking about if we really want to discover God's incredible plan for my life. One, courage is required. Two, consecration is required. But third, the step to our destiny requires commitment. The steps to our destiny requires commitment. Joshua chapter 3, verse 2. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. The Ark of the Covenant. He says, when you see the Ark of the Covenant, then you shall pursue it. It's a very little statement, but a huge statement. What is the Ark of the Covenant? I'm going to give you the homework. You go home and read Exodus chapter 25 from verses 1 to verse 22. Exodus 25, you read from verse 1 to 22, and you'll discover that the ark was very special because it represented the presence of God. God says, I will dwell with you there. Right above the mercy seat on the Ark of the Covenant, God says, I will speaking to the Israelites, he says, I will speak to you. The Ark of the Covenant represents the very presence of God. Amen. Can you imagine? God chose to be right there. And so he says, when you see the Ark of the Covenant move, you pursue it. Listen, put this down. We must commit to passionately pursuing the Lord. Amen. We must, listen, I want to encourage you. You say, oh, I've done this before, Pastor. I did it 15 years ago. That's all right. It was great that you did it 15 years ago. But did you do it this morning? Did you do it last night? Have you made a true commitment and rededication of your life? God, I'm going to passionately pursue you. The tragedy of our time is that many of us as Christians, we're not that passionate about pursuing God. We have our own agenda. We're still nice Christians. We give to missions. We'll serve it now and then. But there is absolutely no passion that I'm pursuing God. And so the passage says, once you see the ark move, once God moves, you follow him, you pursue God. But I think sadly, there's so much stuff, oh God help us, that all this stuff would not cause us to stop pursuing you. God, you have blessed us with so much, but God, because of your blessings, sometimes we're not passionately pursuing you. We have time for everything, room for everything, but for Christ the crucified, there's very little room. And so the passage says, pursue. If the ark moves, you pursue. If God moves, you pursue. Are you pursuing God? Am I pursuing God? But we must not only commit to passionately pursuing the Lord, we must never lose sight of the majesty of God. Did you see it in the text? Did you notice what the text says? Verse 4, yet there shall be a space between you and the ark of 2,000 cubits. You realize what that's all about. Listen, so there were two issues. Number one, if they didn't leave the space, they wouldn't see exactly what God wanted to do. So if you want God's direction, not only do you pursue him, but you recognize his majesty. You recognize you're not just talking to the man upstairs, as we like to say. They had to be, bring it down to our measurement, they had to be at 3,000 feet distance. Can you imagine that? More, you had to leave a distance of more than a half a mile between the ark and the priests because of the holiness and the majesty of God. Oh, God is not some little... I wish I could use my Jamaican. Sometimes you can't find a good American word, English word. You know, sometimes we have our own little expressions. This was not only so they could see, but because of the holiness of God. God loves us, but he must not be trifled with. I think we have lost it. In our generation, we have lost that sense that God is so holy, he must not be trifled with. And we play all sorts of games. We do all sorts of drama. We allow all sorts of stuff in our lives. But God is so holy, he must not be trifled with. Leave 3,000 feet. Don't dare come closer than 3,000 feet. But I'm so glad that this awesomely holy God loves us so much that he developed a way for us to have a personal relationship, aren't you? Amen. And just over 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for my sin. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I'm speaking to you, my brother, my friend, young lady, young man. You have never entered this relationship with him. I want you to know that God is so awesomely holy on your own. You can never get to him. But God came down. Jesus came and he died on the cross of Calvary for your sin and for my sin because of what he did. Salvation is available to all. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Salvation is available today if you put your faith and trust in him. You know, most of us have navigation systems in our cars. Although not everyone has figured out to use the navigation yet, but you know, I remember the first time I ever used a navigation system. They had just come out, and we were traveling in Europe. We were traveling in several countries in Europe, and I got this navigation system. And back then, the satellite systems weren't very many. So here we were, and for history lesson, when navigation systems came out, you know, you'd have to travel with a whole pack of cassettes because you'd have to keep pushing in, putting out, because each thing only covered a small distance. So you know, when you get to that border, you take out and put in another in and out. This was in 2000, so this was almost 23 years ago. So the problem with the system, the satellite coverage was weak. Here we are driving on a little side road, in Spain we were, and we were just breezing along on that side road. And after just enjoying ourselves, because you see, I discovered you lose the satellite, we had lost satellite. And if you lose the satellite, there is no warning because there's nothing to talk to you because you're not under the satellite's coverage. So we are breezing. About an hour later, I'm looking, oh my goodness, we don't have no coverage. We don't know where we're going. We're totally lost in Spain. Lost in space. Spain, not space. So what do you think I did? No, I don't panic too easily. So I went, I said, I'm going to stop at a gas station. So I go to the gas station. I said to the gas station man, he didn't quite understand all I'm talking about. But I said, because the thing was too new, I said, direct me to the nearest big town. Because I figure if I can get to a big town, there's going to be a satellite there. So he told me how to get to this big town. I tell you, well, I wish I could give you some stories, but it was such an incredible drive. The fact that we got lost, we saw some incredible scenery. But bottom line. So here we go. And as we got close to the town, turn! The satellite system came back. And although we had been lost, the satellite system took us directly to Madrid, to our hotel. Although we had been lost for a while, it took us safely there. Amen. I'm speaking to some people who have been lost. You made some bad turns on the road. Let's be honest, admit it. You made some mistakes. In fact, you've made such a mess of your life. Sometimes you wonder, can you ever get to your destination? I'm here this morning. God has sent me to say to you, He has a grand plan for your life. And His navigation. The Word of God and the Spirit of God, His navigation. Despite the mess you have made, if you come to Him, He will take you. He will guide you. He will lead you. And He will take you to His plan and perfect purpose. You may be a Christian. You know you have messed up. Come to Jesus. You're not saved. Come to Jesus. Let Him take you to help you discover His plan and purpose for your life.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, He would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to Him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.